Hello and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And I'm your host, Craig Fay.
And this week we're talking about Clifford the Big Red Dog. I don't, why?
I think this got suggested to us, and the villain is super defendable.
I also think sometimes, I think we have a lot of parents listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
I think a lot of parents are like, please, somebody talk about this movie that I've watched 100 times, please.
And we are happy to
do it. And I will say, I like this movie a lot better than Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, actually, legitimately.
I found it legitimately more charming.
Yeah.
I was like, is this a great movie? Perhaps not. But it was much more enjoyable than Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, it's definitely like if you have a kid and you just sat them down in front of the TV and like they would be thoroughly entertained and nothing like offensive happens or like controversial. And you're just like, yeah. I don't know what I was expecting from Clifford the Big Red Dog, but I got it.
It's exactly, it is as advertised.
I got a big red dog.
Yeah, you did.
His name was Clifford.
Yeah, it was. You're darn right. Done.
And
movie
I was like,
over.
And I was like, what else am I expecting from this?
No.
And then I was just like, right, I don't remember anything about Clifford the Big Red Dog from when I was a kid. The books or anything?
Oh, no, it's just he's big.
He's big. That's
he's
the whole
big
thing.
Stuff happens because he's big. That's it, I think. And that's honestly the description of this movie. If you haven't seen this movie, we have a young girl in sixth grade. She's getting bullied. She's just moved to New York. They say it's rent controlled because it's the only way to explain that.
Huge apartment.
Yeah, she's on a scholarship. A couple of the girls are calling her food stamps. She's feeling low. Her uncle has to babysit her for the weekend. Her uncle is extremely irresponsible as a human being. She comes across a exotic animal tent in a park, and a wizard gives her a dog. A little red dog, and says, the more you love it, the bigger it'll grow. And she wakes up the next morning, and this dog is fucking huge. And for some reason, she's like, I don't care. It's my dog. This dog then proceeds to, I don't know, fuck up the city, I guess. Run around a lot, cause havoc. We have our opposing force, Life Grow. This man's just trying to make animals bigger to stop hunger in the world. What a beautiful
yeah.
message.
Yeah, Tyrion, I think.
Tyrion. Anyway, so he's trying to get this dog. He says, hey, that's my dog, because he's going to use it for science instead of love, which I think we can all support. And then it ends after a big chase, the police and through magic, they decide that this little girl should keep this dog because he saves a life and the community rallies around him. That's the thing.
A couple other details.
We'll get into those.
Yeah, for sure. which I guess like the villain of the movie. Actually, there are a lot of villains in this movie.
A lot of like, there's like side villains or small villains, and then there's kind of like what I would argue is our main villain,
which is
the CEO, the president, the owner of Life Grow, Tyrion.
Yeah, Tony Hale, aka Buster Bluth.
I cannot stop calling him Buster. I was like, so Buster did this.
Buster
I wrote
Bluth.
It down like that. I wrote it in my notes. I was like, Buster looked mean.
Yeah, mean Buster Bluth.
Mean Buster Bluth.
I will say to Tony Hale's credit, I have been watching Harley Quinn.
Oh, yes. Okay,
and he
yes.
does the voice of Dr. Psycho in that.
Yeah. Oh.
And so, like, I was getting tinges of that. I was like, good for you, like, washing off that Buster Bluth stank. Because, for years, that's all I could picture him as.
Oh, yes.
And he's been in other things, and he's been good.
He's really good at being a villain.
Yeah.
Because he does have kind of a face where you're like, yeah, that guy's up to no good.
Yeah, yeah. he's a villain. And then I think the other villain is, I didn't write down the name, but the bully. Oh, the super as well.
Oh, yeah, sorry. The bully, yes. The bully, the super.
Florence is the bully.
Florence.
The food stamps and making fun of her for collecting cans.
Remember school when they'd make fun of you for trying? Remember that? They just try and beat trying out of you, and then you get into the real world and you're like, oh no, everyone's trying out here. Fuck.
Yeah, because like, Okay, here's the big thing. So she's calling her Florence the bully. We'll just start with that because Florence the bully is calling Emily food stamps, even though she's not poor. She's just there at a private school on scholarship.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm not going to put too much logic into what kids call each other.
No.
But the other thing they make fun of her for is for participating in this can drive. So the school has said, go collect cans.
Yeah.
Which is a very 80s, 90s thing. I think maybe she's right in calling out the fact that nobody does this anymore.
I'm like, how old was the writer of this? How long have they been out of school?
Right. Like, you know, cities have recycling programs now, right? Like, the city collects those. But then makes fun of her for participating. And I'm going to blame the teacher a little bit on that.
Whoa.
Because if you have, I'm sorry, no, but if you're like, let's do a can drive. And as Florence says, nobody collects the cans anymore. Our parents all just sign checks and we bring in money for the fundraiser.
Yeah.
And okay, if that's what that's become, don't tell the new girl that we're collecting cans, you know?
Yes, absolutely. I also think if your first instinct as a child is to name a dog Clifford, you might need to be made fun of. You might need it. You might need it a little bit. That is a fucked up name for a child to pick for a dog.
You think so?
A Clifford?
Okay.
Think about it. Okay.
Well, yeah. Okay.
In a universe where Clifford the Big Red Dog doesn't exist.
Yeah.
That's creepy. I don't know why it's giving me the creeps.
Well, that does go into another point I wanted to make about this movie, which is Emily Elizabeth is acts way too old for her age.
It is creepy.
She comes home from being bullied and is like basically pouring herself a pot of coffee, being like, well, I'm going to be explaining this to my therapist for years. And you're like, that sounds like an adult wrote that line. But that's not anything a child would say.
No, I am not. Even as an adult, I still talk like a child more than that child. I had to tell you, for real, I woke up this morning and I had no milk and I just put a spoonful of ice cream in my fucking mug. I just straight up in my coffee. It was delicious. It worked very well. I'm a genius.
Yeah. No, that's cream.
That's
cream.
It was Häagen-Dazs and it was coffee flavored. It was perfect. It was absolutely perfect for my morning coffee.
Like pansy lemons, right? Yeah,
10 out of 10 would recommend. Sorry, I really veered off
so
already.
You really then empathize with the uncle in this, Casey.
The
fuck up uncle.
Oh my God, Craig. Every time I see a fuck up character, I'm like, I'm 3 weeks away from this. I think that every time I see one of these characters, I'm like, I'm 3 weeks away from that. I'm barely holding it together.
Yes.
I thoroughly sympathize with these people.
Yes. I love, like, because he's living in a van, which is kind of an explanation of why do they have a van big enough to carry Clifford around.
And honestly, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad. That's pretty good. Bad. That's a good leap. I like that.
But honestly, the line that I love about it is he shows his niece, Emily Elizabeth, the van. And he says, it's a valid, financially responsible life choice that your mother doesn't need to know about. And I was just like, that perfectly summarizes that.
Yes, and perfectly summarizes most uncles, I think.
Yeah. Oh, no.
No, that's not. No. all right. So, yeah, the bully, I mean, she shouldn't bully.
She gets ketchup sprayed on her uniform
and
then licked by a giant dog. I think as far as comeuppance go,
you've been comeupped. Anytime somebody's ever said in the history of time, do you know how much this costs? I immediately don't fucking care.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The second that leaves your lips, I'm like, well.
I had somebody who's like, this is a very expensive t-shirt. I was like, why?
Yeah.
They got ketchup on it. And I was just like, what? I mean, what are you doing with a white t-shirt and if you had like an old Navy Value, like an Old Navy t-shirt that you found at a Value Village that was white.
Yeah.
I'd still be like, what are you doing eating ketchup in it? Like,
yeah. One time this was my bad. I spilled like half a shot on a guy once, like the back of him, right? And I think I've told this story in the podcast before. It doesn't matter. I spilled this guy like half a shot on the back of him and he flipped out and his girlfriend was like, babe, that shirt's so expensive. And before I could even like think of like hold my mouth back, I went, really? Like, it was the ugliest fucking shirt I've ever seen in my goddamn life. I was like, really?
Never spend good money on a white shirt.
No, that's stupid. Okay. So before we get into our big villain, I think we should jump next to the super.
Right.
No pets. That seems like that was as advertised.
And
I would also say this would be even in places that would accept pets. I don't think this is what they're thinking of.
No, no. I mean, in Ontario, we have a law where even if they say no pets, they really can't tell you no pets. So we're like, I'm always on that side. And I'm like, that being said, when Kat and I were getting our old apartment, we lied about having a pet. In case they wouldn't give us the apartment.
Oh, yeah. I am... Craig, you know I'm team lie.
Right.
Lie to a landlord? Absolutely.
Yeah,
Every application I've ever filled out, I think I've lied at least a bit.
Yeah, of course. But you're right. I would say there's within reason even beyond that. You know, like, you got a turtle. You got a pet turtle. We said no pets. Who cares? A fish? Go fuck yourself. Why are we even talking about a fish? But... A giant dog. Like, I'm not like,
no, this doesn't even apply to just animals. I think this applies to just like everything. If you're like, if I say, hey, Craig, I'm going to bring a cake to your fucking place.
Yeah.
And I bring a cake and fucking 20 strippers pop out of it. That's too big. That's not what you were thinking of. Okay, that's not what I was offering.
Which is, by the way, how they measure the volume of cakes.
Is that not how strippers. We measure the ball of cakes? What the hell is happening right now? That's what I go in. I go in. I'm like, I want a quarter of a stripper cake.
Cream cheese icing. Quarter cheese of a stripper. Icing.
Red velvet, if you could.
How many strippers would feed like 8?
Oh, no.
But you're right. Like, if you were bringing a ton, and Clifford easily would weigh like a ton, right? Like, the size that he is. Like, that's a small car, right? Half ton, maybe? I don't know. I'm terrible at estimating weight. He's the size of a small car, at least.
Oh no, he's definitely bigger than a car. Like, he looks like he's bigger than a car.
Yeah,
oh,
like a pickup truck, like
maybe,
a one ton. Yeah, so he's like one ton.
Yes. Okay, we'll say that. Yes.
One ton in an apartment is insane.
Oh, absolutely.
Structurally, that's insane. Do you know how much more work that landlord is now going to have to do because you decide? Let's say you just run your water forever. And you have a giant inflatable pool in your place, and you put a ton of water into your apartment, you are fucking something up.
I think people have done that. I think, like, I genuinely think people have done that and fuck shit up.
Yeah, it's because buildings aren't designed to hold that much weight, like, in addition to what they're, you know.
No, and they also, talk about, they're like, Clifford hasn't hurt anybody. Clifford hasn't done a thing. I'm like, that's just like, he is terrorizing people in parks.
Yes.
Absolutely terrorizing them, breaking windows, breaking anything he can get his freaking hands on. Okay, there's little paws on.
Yeah,
little
there's
red.
The guy in the inflatable thing.
Yeah, yeah. Red, the color of the devil. Think about it. Okay, yeah. Think about it. That's all I'm saying. Okay, this is an evil dog.
It is an unnatural red.
It is such an unnatural
red. It is
red.
An alarm. Like, it's a red flag, but it's like a... I didn't mean to do that. Yeah. It's an alarming red.
Yes, it is.
Right? Like, if it was like Irish Setter red, you'd be like, beautiful.
Yeah, no.
You know, I can't think of another red dog. but like this is fire truck red, and you go, what else is wrong with this dog if it is fire truck red? And here's the thing, we might as well talk about it right now. Nobody tolerates a misbehaved dog. Okay, like large dog. Sorry, I should
say. Oh yes, yes,
there
yes,
is,
yes.
There is a whole thing where it's like the bigger the dog, actually, the more that I trust them, because there is no way if you see a 100-pound dog. You go, like, you're taken back, but you go, there is no way that anyone would tolerate that dog being misbehaved.
Oh, I think you're giving people way too much credit.
No, but this has been my experience. And a smaller dog, people tend to just be like, oh, you're a Chihuahua. He won't start barking, and they just pick him up and move him away. But because you can't do that with big dogs,
yeah,
they have to be better behaved. You know?
No, that makes, I guess that, I mean, it stands to reason a bit. I just see a lot of idiots with big dogs where I'm like, there's no way you have control of that dog. It's absolutely just dragging you down the street.
Fair enough.
You have no control. You're out of your element. You don't know what's happening.
The other thing I will say about big dogs is they are the only animal where I feel like you can scale them up and they're fine. You know? Because picture this. Picture a dog the size of Clifford.
Mm-hmm.
I am like, so cute, right? I want to pet that dog. Wonderful. You picture a cat that size? That's a horror movie. Like just a house cat scaled up to the size of a truck. That cat's eating us all.
Oh, immediately.
Immediately.
Or at least bringing us 1 inch to close to death and then going, I'm bored now.
Yeah, and walking away. But it's definitely batting at some
shit. Oh, yeah. No.
It's taking things down. No, because here's my other theory about dogs. Dogs have no concept of size themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dogs have this wonderfully empathetic thing where they look at things and they go, everything is the same as me. And that's why we love them. Oh, that is also so why they are so dumb.
Yeah.
Because you get a little Chihuahua or something going up, like will run up to a Great Dane and be like, I can take you.
Yeah.
In a dog park. And the Great Dane's like, whoa, how'd you get so big? Like, and that's the saving grace of Clifford the Big Red Dog, is he has no idea how big he is, which is also a negative.
Yes. It's also New York's the worst place to have this dog.
Yeah.
The worst place of all time to have this dog.
Absolutely.
This wizard is not good.
Ridewell?
No, yes.
Menace.
John Cleese. Absolute menace in this movie. Because like the whole premise is that he gives the people what they need. So like,
yeah, the perfect pet for what you need in that moment.
For what you need in that moment. And not for what anybody else needs in that moment. Just for you. Because you're fucking up everybody else's shit. Also, I have a feeling because I wish she doesn't have a name. She was just like the assistant in the veterinary office. And she's like, oh, well, he gave a parrot to a guy that wouldn't speak. And then the parrot gave him daily affirmations. And now this guy won't shut up.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, maybe his friends don't like that. Like, we're not hearing the other side of this story.
Yeah.
Because it feels very like monkey paw kind of like.
There's a curse to this,
yes,
for sure.
Yes, it feels like there's a curse to this for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And like the fact that his animal rescue thing is just kind of, like, it's just snakes and rats and like sloths just out in the open. There's like no cages. There's no containment. It's a magical thing, but he fills out paperwork to come to schools. Like it's. You know
Although
what I mean?
When they were dancing for that other guy being dead, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was kind of cute.
Yeah.
I do also. Oh, just speaking of absolute devastatingly cuteness. Owen's so cute!
The little sidekick friend.
I'm screaming. He's adorable. He was so, like, front to back, just like flawless performance. So adorable. Everything I want to see in a kid's movie. I just want to see adorable kids run around. And
he was pretty good. I will
and create.
Admit.
Yes. Yes. He was. I just thought he was excellent in this movie. So adorable. And it never came to anything, which I think is awesome because I'm like, it's a fucking kids movie. Yeah. We don't need to put a bow on this. This is adorable.
Yeah. Just be an adorable kid and run around and help. And yeah, absolutely.
Just want to do illegal shit and learn on the road. Adorable. Everything that came out of that kid's mouth, I was like, I fucking love this kid. This kid's adorable. 10 out of 10. Great kid.
Great kid. Would recommend.
Would recommend. Would recommend for another movie. Absolutely. Put him in anything. He's so cute. What do we think about our main character? Emily?
I mean, I'm not going to argue against her. I'm going to argue that she might not own the dog.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes. Do tell.
Okay, because presumably in this situation, Casey, Uncle Casey, is her guardian at this point, right? Like he's babysitting her. He's taking care of her. She is a minor. Cannot sign legal documents. Cannot take possession of property or anything like that. And they go to Bridewell. They go and they look at the thing, you know, and they walk around. No harm, no foul. And Casey says, no, we're not getting the dog. And he even has a, he was he's like, thank you for making me feel like the villain. Yeah. Telling my niece that she can't get a dog. I really appreciate this. Which is absolutely the responsible thing to do. You're babysitting your niece for a week. You don't get them a dog. That's crazy. And even this guy who does not have his life together is like, yeah, that's crazy that I
that
would
is,
get a dog.
That is giving that that shows you the level of of how fucked up it is.
Exactly.
That this fuck up still like, nah. It's like when you have that one friend in your group and it's like, well, if Joey says we shouldn't do it, we definitely shouldn't do it.
We should not do it.
We should not do that.
Yeah, Joey's like, you got a dog for a girl you were babysitting?
You're like, oh, no.
So and we've already established that Brywell is a guy who fills out paperwork to be at schools and like at different locations. Yeah. So clearly he has some sort of adoption forms, which were never signed, right? The dog get magically or whatever gets into Emily Elizabeth's
through the power of love.
Yeah, you need this dog. And then she's like, well, I'll keep you overnight. She hugs the dog and says, I wish you were so big that no one could ever hurt me again. And I'm just going to go out and say that kind of like dovetailing into our little conversation earlier about you've seen people with big dogs who do not have control of them. Mm. And the kind of person who doesn't have control of their big dog is the kind of person who goes, I want a big fucking dog so people are scared of me. And that is exactly what Emily Elizabeth is doing. That is the point. It's not the love that does it. It's not the love that does it.
It's the hate.
It's the wish that she had a dog so big that that girl at school won't fuck with her. That's an irresponsible
that
dog
is,
owner.
That's dark, Craig.
It's going to get so much darker.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, no. Well, I'm excited
so
for that,
obviously.
So
that's what I think about Emily Elizabeth.
This is our podcast after dark now. We don't normally record at night, and we're recording this one at night, and I can already feel it's having an effect on Craig.
Hi, my name is Emily Elizabeth, and I run a dog fight.
I'm going to get this dog. Okay, question, just as a side question. What would you, if you had a dog that size, what would you do with it first? What would be the move? What do you want to do?
Obedience school?
Obedience.
Well, I mean, but you're like, okay, the dog follows my commands and like we can.
Yeah, like I mean, loosely.
I might try and ride it.
Oh, yes.
I know that you don't ride dogs, but like. Mm.
No, you ride that dog.
The size makes that
yes,
sense.
Yes, 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 yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah. No, you ride that dog. Absolutely, yeah. I ride that dog. I ride that dog over to the lawns of my enemies. Absolutely.
Is that what you do first, Rebecca?
Oh, of course that's what I do first. Of course that's what I do first. Absolutely. Ride it over to the lawns of my enemies. We've had a big meal. Let's see what happens. See what happens when we get over there.
I like it. Yeah, yeah.
I know. I was talking to somebody about how their neighbor used to use pigeons. They would train pigeons to shit on their neighbor's roofs. And I can't stop thinking about it. Literally.
That's some villain of the week shit.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. The story goes so much deeper. I won't tell it. It's a comedian story. But still, it is.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing, and I do subscribe to it.
Little revenge poop.
Yeah, what's wrong with a little revenge poop?
Yeah.
There's actually a couple of surprising butt jokes in this.
Yep.
Yeah, they're like, well, you're going to take his temperature, right? Like where animals take temperature. I'm like, did we need this scene?
Yeah.
Is this something kids think is hilarious and I don't get?
Yeah.
Possibly.
I mean.
Possibly.
Do kids know that they're talking about sticking the thermometer up the dog's butt?
I don't know. Probably.
And it was Keenan Thompson playing the vet who's like, you know, That was kind of fun or whatever.
Oh,
but like,
I want him in every family movie.
For sure, for sure. I'm glad he's there.
Very charming. Very
I don't
likeable.
Think he did anything on that vet. And I'm going to call it. I don't think that's the guy you take that dog to get checked out.
No, large animal vet. Okay, you go to like a zoo vet.
Yeah, you're like, hey, you know how to deal with rhinos and shit? Here's a dog that size.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, that guy was not prepared. That's a call ahead situation.
Oh, yeah. As a walk-in? That's insane.
As a walk-in.
That is insane as a walk-in. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. Russell Peters is also in this movie.
He is. As like the magic
neighbor. And he's like, I'm going to cut her in half. Like, Jesus Christ.
It's very strange.
He is very strange, but they all rally at the end.
They do. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The neighborhood rallies.
Because who doesn't love a big red dog?
I mean, not me.
Yeah, I would take it back. Because I'm a responsible dog owner, I would say I can't have that dog in it.
I actually want a dog so badly, and I know I can't have one because I'm not responsible enough to have one.
Thank
a regular ass-sized dog.
Yes.
An apartment dog. Can't even handle that. I'm watching this, I'm like, there's no way. There's like 16 extra scenes of this movie where they're just like, there's pure destruction. There's fires everywhere from this dog.
That dog's famously unaware of where they're wagging their tails. Mm. You know? He's knocking over cars with that thing. It's so big.
And guys, before we get to our main villain of the episode, guys, we got to talk about our sponsor of the week. Thank you so much, TeePublic. We love TeePublic.
Yeah, TeePublic.com. Guys, if you haven't checked it out yet, you absolutely should. Because obviously, if you're listening to this, you're like fans of things and you like movies and all these properties. And TeePublic is this great site where you can get all these designs on some really good quality tees and whatever kind of fandom you're into, whatever kind of like things, you can find an incredible design by independent artists that goes on a t-shirt or a mug or phone cases or notebooks, anything you want, really.
Trust me when I say you can punch anything into that search engine and you will find. You will find. Okay, you will find your heart's desire on that site. You want some raccoon stuff? You know they got raccoon stuff. We got to get more raccoons.
We got some raccoon stuff. Yeah, we got some raccoon stuff on ours for sure. And we have our own designs on there too. So if the only thing that you're fans of is The Villain Was Right. Well,
Great taste, by the way.
We do have our own. We have our Villain Was Right, our creature's design. So this is Clifford. I'm going to call Clifford a creature.
Oh, I would.
He's a creature.
He is a creature.
So we have our Villain Was Right creature's design where it's a bunch of creatures that we've defended in the past and just a really cool design. So you can check that out as well. Every week we try and update it with stuff from the movie, so maybe check out some Clifford the Big Red Dog inspired designs there as well.
Yeah, hell yeah, guys. So head over to vwrstore.fromsuperheroes.com to check out all our merch and favorite designs from TeePublic. That's vwrstore.fromsuperheroes.com. And thank you, TeePublic, for your support, for your continued support. You're the best. And now we're going to go to our main villain.
Tyrion. Buster Bluth.
Busta. I'm going to call him Buster. Busta. I just like it. Busta.
Busta. way more attitude than he deserves.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So I'm going to start this off.
I am very excited to hear your take on this because I was like, this is Craig.
100%.
Yes.
I am so for this. What I'm going to say is I've already talked about like the hazy legality of whether Emily Elizabeth owns this. And I think a lot of like the shenanigans that you could like say are villainous in this come down to the fact that he's trying to trick a little girl out of her dog. It's like maybe one step up from stealing candy from a baby. But I don't think she owns the dog at all. And his whole thing is we are trying to grow big food to solve world hunger.
Yep.
That's it.
Yes.
Stated goal.
It is, and no other background thing. No. No, like, oh, but actually, underground, I do this.
And I'll make money. And like,
no, it's like literally, like, he's like, I've sunk every dollar into this company. You guys still haven't figured it out. This thing is clearly the key.
Because it is big.
Yes.
100%.
Any means necessary.
Yes.
Okay, because it's like, yeah, you could say like it's one step up from like stealing like candy from a baby. But if they're like, that candy cures cancer, I'm stealing that candy every time.
Yes.
I'm taking it.
We're not going to just let you run around with it.
But it's my candy.
Is it?
A wizard gave it to me.
Yes. And there's something very unfair about this. So first of all, he's bringing science to a magic fight. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Like
science to a magic fight is exactly what's happening here.
The problem with him is he has to follow logic and rules and everything like that. And this dog just grows big enough depending on love. And I'm going to say this is okay. This is a thought I hold very deeply, which is your fun little fantasy does not have to answer to the real world. Okay? For example, the fact that the Easter Bunny is real, everybody.
Okay.
That does not have to answer for fascism. You know what I mean?
Okay.
like a little bunny that brings you eggs that you look for doesn't also have to be like, and how does that fit into a world where the Khmer Rouge existed? You know what I mean? We're just having fun with a bunny that brings you eggs.
Yes.
Right. We don't have to go back and
No.
And figure all this out. Except when
you
bring it up.
Except when you bring it up.
So here we are in this world where there is magic.
Yes.
Magic that can, by the way, defy the laws of conservation of mass and energy, because there's no way that a dog gets that big overnight. And you've also brought up world hunger. So why ain't that magic solving world hunger? Why is the magic, let's just get a little girl the pet she needs?
Yeah, the girl goes to private school on a scholarship.
Yeah.
She needs my help.
For moral support. And why isn't that? And here's where it gets a little darker.
Oh, no.
Why aren't we feeding a village of people with Clifford?
No.
Okay.
Because we got to pull back.
No. No. Because what animals we eat and which ones we don't are entirely societal.
Yes, that is true.
Why do you eat a pig and not a dog? That is entirely because of the culture you were raised in.
Yes.
In other places, it's reversed. Cows are revered in India. They are, you know, they're not eaten there. All I'm saying is that's Clifford as a food source. Jesus, I can't believe I'm saying this.
I liked when he was for science.
But you know how big of a burden a carnivore of that size puts on?
Oh, that dog is eating like the amount of food of a family of five every single meal.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So even ignoring that.
Okay, yeah.
Looking at him for science and being like, how do we grow food this big?
Mm-hmm.
Is 100% legitimate.
Oh, absolutely it is. And a much better goal than, oh, this girl got bullied and she needs to feel better about herself, instead of just learning about this internally.
Yeah.
just making her way through it, because it sounds like she has a lot of the language under control.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like she actually will probably just like write some pretty angsty poems for a few years and she'll be fine.
Yeah, like they write her as a kind of girl who will go like, well, this too shall pass.
Yeah. No, that girl would vibe out to Daria pretty quick. You know what I mean? Like, I just think, yeah. And I mean, and also... I do not support the bullying. I think bullying is hard no matter what. Like, it always fucking sucks. But this girl seems so focused on the people that hate her instead of looking at the people that do like her and want to hang out with her and talk with her and stuff like that, right? Owen's a fantastic friend.
Yeah.
I would be so excited to have Owen as my friend. What a cool kid to have as my friend.
Yeah, no, Owen's a banger.
You know what I mean? Seems smart, a lot of fun.
Yep.
Hell yeah. Be my friend, buddy.
Yeah, they love each other.
Absolutely. She's my friend. But she's like, oh, this person called me food stamps and I brought in cans.
Yeah.
That is on the teachers.
That is on
the teachers. Nobody else had cans. Somebody should have told her.
No. And meanwhile, she's also like, please get anyone to babysit me but Uncle Casey. And Uncle Casey loves her, is a weird, goofy guy.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what you want as a babysitter, but also like fairly responsible with her.
And like, okay, like when her mom's talking about him, she's like, well, yeah, well, it can't be him. He thinks vegetables are green M&Ms. And I was like, that's my favorite babysitter.
Yes.
That's who I want babysitting.
For a week?
Me. Yes, fine. Absolutely. Let's pig out. Let's get weird. Whatever. She misses a day of school and watch cartoons all day. Fucking sick.
Great.
You're a kid. Who cares?
Yeah, she should be really, really cool, psyched to hang out with
this
Casey.
Is what I'm saying. This
and
kid?
She's way mm-mm. too adult. Mm-mm. Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something happening.
The other thing I need to ask about Casey, and then we'll get back to Buster yeah. Bluth here. Okay. this is an absolute mind fuck.
Okay.
Okay. Emily's mother.
Yes.
Is British.
Yes.
And they go through a whole thing here explaining why Casey does not have a British accent.
Yes.
Casey is played by Jack Whitehall.
Yes.
Who is British. Why did they do this?
I did not know that.
Yes.
I did not know that he is British.
Yes.
Oh, that is a mind fuck. Why would you? Why?
There's even a scene where he fakes a British accent
and it's really
to get
bad.
Rid of the. Yeah. And he is a born and bred British man. And I cannot fathom the logic of this movie where they said that makes sense. Where they go, let's get Jack Whitehall to do an American accent and let's not get the other actress to do an American accent because she's also British. And we'll have a whole thing about fake British accents.
And where like, we explain why he doesn't have an accent and she does.
Like, precious movie real estate was spent on this.
Precious. That is, yes.
Okay, you have no...
No idea, Craig. First of all, I didn't know that man was British. Because at no point in my head did I go, that they would do that. Like, yeah. I don't...
Unless it's a different Jack Whitehall. But I'm pretty sure he's the same actor who did the brother from Jungle Cruise.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And then that's Jack Whitehall. Jack Whitehall.
Yeah, yep, English. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And there's a few other things so in this movie that did not feel quite thought out in the same way.
Okay, tell me.
Like Puppy Clifford mm-hmm. seemed to vary in size to me.
Okay,
from
yes.
shot to shot.
Well, yes. There was a couple of shots where I was like, all right, team.
Yeah. And there was also the part where the landlord looks in the room where Clifford is in, and then Clifford has snuck out the other way, and it was like there was no other door in that room. And it was like they shot this, and they didn't think about how a one-ton dog was going to get out of a room.
Movie just, magic.
Right, that's what I mean. And there's a few places like this magic. Where they just did not think it through.
You've brought up one of the points I would like to make, though, is there is a big difference between Clifford the Big Red Dog and Clifford the Big Red Puppy, and we get Puppy. Okay, Clifford the Big Red Puppy, that's unruly, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is not a dog yet just because it got big. It's a fucking puppy.
Untrained.
Untrained.
Untrained dog.
Untrained dog ripping around the streets. I laughed so hard when the police was like, yeah, it's your dog. Enjoy. I was like, Jesus Christ. Oh, my
too
God.
Much. Too
no,
much.
No, too fucking funny. I lost my mind.
Like eminent domain should be like, this is the government's dog now.
Yes. Absolutely.
You can't have this thing in New York City.
No, or like you got to move to like Iowa or something. Yeah. Like you got to like, I don't know. You got to move somewhere where there's a lot of open space.
The suburbs would be irresponsible for this dog.
Which is why I actually thought shipping Clifford to a like an animal reserve was smart. I was like, this is the best move for it.
In Shanghai.
Yes.
Which will come up later. I'm just mentioning that.
Oh, what?
It's important that it's Shanghai.
Okay.
Stay tuned for our Hero and Villain of the Week, everybody.
Oh, I see. Okay. I was like, for what? What are we staying tuned for, Craig?
It's Shanghai. Okay. They literally Shanghai. They put him on a boat to Shanghai.
They do. They, yes. I actually didn't connect that.
Which is also, I'm going to go back to the tricky ownership issue with Tyrion, mm-hmm. Buster Bluth, which is they have at that point sort of also given up possession of the dog.
Yes, they have.
You know what I mean? They have surrendered that dog, and then they go and they get him off the boat.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, to me, you can't say this is my dog when you have not filled out the paperwork to adopt it from a place where clearly they have paperwork despite their mystical origins. Two, you have then given up that dog to somebody else. You do not own that dog. You have no claim to that dog. And then I would also argue that it's a far better use of that dog to study him scientifically. And let's talk a little bit about how they are studying this dog scientifically. Okay.
Yeah.
Because at no point does Buster Bluth say, I want to hurt this dog. He's not like the villain where he's like, I'm going to chop him up and dissect him and see how he ticks, blah, blah, blah. They get a hold of Clifford and he says, start sequencing his DNA right away. And it's said like that's sinister.
Yeah,
do you know
right.
what's involved yeah. in sequencing DNA? A cheek swab?
Oh, yeah.
Possibly some blood, probably some blood work at that level of science. But then when they sneak in, the whole community sneaks into this place to get him back. And there's this moment where they go like, oh, no, they've killed Clifford because he's lying on a table unresponsive. And they scare away all the what I'm going to call is more qualified vets. and it turns out Clifford was just napping.
Yeah, just having a nap.
Not even under anesthesia.
No,
up and go. Which means that they were treating him better than the vet appointment that he had been in before.
That's right. They actually never talk about hurting him or anything bad happening. They were just like, we want to study this dog.
We want a 23andMe this dog.
Yeah. We're probably not going to feed him 500 hot dogs for lunch, so he's not going to die from diarrhea. Like, it's...
Yeah, that's what happens with dogs.
Yeah. Like, we're just... Like, we're just going to take care of it so much better than you. We have facilities for this dog, and it'll help all mankind, probably.
Yeah.
That's... Yeah, I mean...
They were taking care of that dog.
This felt like a slam dunk, absolutely, watching this guy run around. And I know it's... And I, like you said before, I know it's a man trying to steal a little girl's dog. And sometimes when I say the stuff we argue out loud, it hurts a little bit. But I believe it.
But, okay, Rebecca, you're a little girl, right?
Okay, I love it already.
And you have a dog that you love.
Yes.
Okay, and... Someone comes to you and they go, Rebecca, we have to give this man your puppy because it's gonna help a lot of people in the world. It's gonna solve world hunger. You can be upset.
Yeah.
And I can see you you're almost like tearing up as
I just feel like.
But I think as an adult, right, you would be like, yeah, I guess you had to do that.
Oh, yes. All the neighbors are unhinged to be like, well,
yeah. Gotta keep this in the neighborhood.
He saved this weird lawyer's life that doesn't know how to do anything. Like, why are you on a roof? Anyway.
Why are you on a roof?
The way that man was gonna die was the dumbest. I loved it.
Falling off a roof because he's trying to like...
Yeah, I mean, obviously I would give up that dog. Also... That sounds like the most manipulative lie from a parent.
Oh, it has very strong, he's going to go to a farm energy.
Yes, it does. But somehow worse. Somehow worse. I don't know why. It's hitting me right in the feels.
Yeah, because we love dogs.
I'm a dog person. Well, it's one of those things, like, every time, and I notice, like, it's super, like, anytime there's a dog in a movie... Nobody cares how many times people die.
No.
People die left, right, and center. There's a golden retriever in the middle of a war. Jesus Christ.
You better let me know that golden retriever made it.
Oh, yeah. If I don't see his tail wagging at the end, like, I swear to God.
Yeah. Slight spoilers for, have you seen Prey, the new Predator?
Oh, yes.
Really great.
Yes.
It's like they had to do that with the dog. You have to show that the dog gets through, you know?
Yes.
Because we would not tolerate that.
Oh, no, I need to know. I need to know deeply. It's very important to me.
So would I be emotionally upset if this movie ended with Clifford going to live in a facility somewhere and Emily Elizabeth crying in Central Park? Of course. Mm-hmm. Are we saying that's a good ending that for your children to watch? No. I am saying that this scientist is... motivated by the right things.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. Do you have anything else for our...
No.
For our village? Yeah. That's I mean, guys...
Life grow, get that dog.
Life grow, get that
grow
dog.
Grow giant watermelons, feed the world.
This was better than Tom and Jerry.
Yeah.
In closing statements, yes, this was much better than Tom and Jerry. If you are a parent and you're like, oh, should I throw this movie on for my kids? I would.
Yeah, it's
fine.
It's Clifford.
Yes, it's Clifford. There's some charming moments. There's some pretty good jokes, some cute characters. I mean, yeah. It's a pass for me.
Yeah.
It's a pass. So, guys, we got to get into our definitive rankings of our villains. What do you got for us, Greg?
Yeah, so I've got the dog scale or the Great. Movie dog scale. So on a scale of Cujo to Lassie, I am going to give Tyrion, Buster Bluth, a Scooby-Doo. Because he's slightly obsessed with food and really wants to get to the bottom of this mystery.
That's cute. That's cute. Yeah. My scale is things you don't want big and red.
Oh no.
Yeah, sorry. So between my toe and your hat... I'm going to give our villain I'm going to give him a dick. We knew I was going there. You knew I was going there. Absolutely. We're not surprised. He's a bit of a dick, but I'm sure he's got a great use for somebody.
He's just, the hope that it wouldn't go there.
No.
It was like I heard the first two and I was like, maybe I have the dirty mind.
No.
All right.
No, you don't.
Big red dog dick. All right.
Why did it have to be a dog dick? Why did we do that?
Oh no.
That's unhinged. Anyway, okay. Okay, we're fine. We'll make it. It's like I said at the beginning of the podcast, this is podcasting after dark.
This is podcast after dark.
It's the evening time. Getting a little weirder with it.
And hey, everybody, we'll get to our nighttime hero and villains of the week in a second. But first, some nighttime how you can get in touch with the podcast. This is
so stupid.
Guys.
Okay. We're going to collect ourselves.
All right. Hey, do you like us? Do you like it when we go on silly little tangents like this? Oh, boy. Not only can you like us, you can also support us financially, everybody. We're on Patreon. Patreon.com/thevillainwasright. If you don't know what Patreon is, it is a monthly subscription service where you get to support the artists that you enjoy. And hopefully that's us. And in exchange for various amounts of money, you get certain benefits. At our lowest tier, $1 a month gets you these episodes ad-free. So if you don't like listening to the ads and you want to support the podcast, $1 a month gets you this. You got a little private link, and you'll be able to listen to these episodes without ads. As well, we also have benefits at other tiers where we have voting on our audience choice episodes. We have early releases of episodes. And at our top tier, $7 a month gets you 2 bonus episodes every month. And this month, we're into September, right? For September, we're doing Despicable Me is my choice. So if you want to hear us talk about literal minions, come check that out. And if you guys want to get in touch with us.
Oh, as always, you can follow us at VWR Podcast on Twitter, Villain Was Right on Facebook, and email us at villainwasright@gmail.com if you want to send us a longer story. Also, you guys have been slipping into my DMs with all of your terrible dating stories, and I appreciate each and every single one. Keep them coming. I want to hear about all the tragic things that have happened to you on dates. I love them. Thank you so much for your... It feels like, honestly, support. It just feels like you guys are... Yeah, you're truly making me feel better about my social life, and I like that. And guys, now it is time for our heroes and villains of the week. This week, I've got a small villain, bit of a villain. I had moved recently in the last couple months, so I've been buying up like all this furniture and like... I'm just trying to find anything cheap, basically. I've just been buying things off auctions, Facebook Marketplace, whatever I can get secondhand. It also makes me feel better to buy shit secondhand because I'm like, well, I move all the time, right? This would be better. Anyway, I get this super, super cute teal like patio furniture because we've got a little back patio. Just that like, you know, folding IKEA shit, whatever. And so I go and meet the woman and she's like, okay, can you come up all the way to my apartment? No problem. I get up there. And she's like, okay, so it's, I haven't even, she's like, I haven't wiped it down. I haven't done anything to it. I'm like, that's fine. I mean, this is Facebook Marketplace. I know what I'm getting into here. And she goes, oh, this is my dog, Lola. Don't mind her. She's really, really well behaved. And I was like, okay, great. I love dogs. And literally the second I stepped into that apartment, that dog started biting my leg. Immediately. It was within fucking seconds. Every time I walked through to pull something back out into the hallway. The whole way. And it wasn't like hard enough to break skin or anything like that. But I was like, yo, do not know your dog.
Not well behaved.
You do not know your dog. Not well behaved. Anyway, there's... You know, misbehaving dogs made me think of that, and it happened last week, so here we are.
And did you say, you don't understand, dogs normally love me? Because that's what I do when a dog attacks me. I'm like, no, why? Why are you doing this?
Dogs love me.
Yeah.
I was out with a couple people who had a dog, and their dog did not love them.
Yeah.
Their dog respect. It was so crazy. My friends kept getting me to give it water because I was the only one it would take water from. I was like, you guys need to go to a course or something. This isn't good. Yeah. This is not good. I've talked to this dog for 5 minutes. Like,
we shouldn't be bonding on this
team.
Level.
Yes. Get it together, team. Get it together. What do you got for us, Craig?
Yeah. So I've got. So remember how I mentioned that Clifford got shanghaied in this?
Jesus Christ.
So as I'm watching this, one thing I've
got shanghaied. Sorry. That's just killing me. It never registered to me.
So I sort of fell down a Wikipedia rabbit hole on. What Shanghai? Right. So if you don't know, because I was sort of vague on it, the practice of Shanghaiing, or crimping as it is otherwise known, is kidnapping people and signing them up to be sailors on a boat, and then they sail away, and you're not legally allowed to leave a vessel that you are signed on to. So it's horrible. It's kidnapping. It's like. People would run like bars and things in like on the West Coast of the United States and like abduct people and like forge their signature and put them on ships and they would just be like gone for months. So it's really bad. It's human trafficking. It's terrible. That being said,
oh Lord.
So I fell down this rabbit hole and I encountered this article on a guy called James Shanghai Kelly.
Oh, no!
Who was operating out of San Francisco. And I'm just going to read you this paragraph directly from the Wikipedia article.
Okay.
Okay, because this is epic to me. So in the early 1870s, Kelly was reported to have shanghaied 100 men for 3 understaffed ships in a single evening. Renting the paddle steamer Goliath, he announced that he was hosting a free booze cruise to celebrate his, quote, birthday and say thank you to his fellow Crips and runners who had helped him through the years. After leaving port, his bartender served opium-laced whiskey to his guests, who were then offloaded to the waiting ships. His greatest concern, returning from a well-publicized event with a boat devoid of revelers, was alleviated by a stroke of luck when he learned that the Yankee Blonde had struck a rock and was sinking. After rescuing everybody on board, he simply resumed the celebration, and those on the waterfront were none the wiser upon his return.
Whoa!
Isn't that insane?
Yeah. Yes, every part of that was bananas.
Right? I just... unreal that this is how the world was.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Plus, I do love a good Wikipedia hole.
Oh, right? Oh, absolutely.
That's a nighttime activity right there.
That's a nighttime activity.
If you're falling into a Wikipedia hole in the morning, oh, man.
That's your day.
That's your day. That's your whole day. You have to do it at night or you will lose so much fucking time.
Yeah. So that's my villain of the week.
That's a good, that's a villain.
Shanghai Kelly. Yeah.
That's a strong villain. I would say the most villainous villain.
Like literally villain.
Yes. Like a literal villain. Yeah. Guys. That's so, oh my God. That's so wild. Guys, as always, you can follow me at Rebecca Reads on any platform of your choosing.
Yeah. And you can follow me at Craig Faye Comedy on Facebook and Twitter, CraigFaye.com for show dates. And, that does it for this week on the podcast. Stay tuned for next week. Next week we are doing Long awaited, many times requested, The Terminal. We're back on our Tom Hanks bullshit, everybody. So check that out. That'll be a fun one. And until then, this is The Villain Was Right, reminding you to help control the pet population and have your pets spayed or neutered.
The Villain Was Right is produced by Andrew Ivamy as part of the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as webcomics, articles, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.